Yeah, so let me pray for us, and then we're going to invite you, Tremont, into the feed, and we'll jump into this brand new series. God, we thank you so much for who you are and for what you do, for how you love us and pursue us and show us a better way through your word, a better way to live, a better way to experience life, a better way to be in relationships with others. And we're just so thankful for who you are and what you do in this space. We're so humbled that we get to be a part of it. So thankful for last weekend. I pray that the hope of resurrection would be something we carry with us every day. As we jump into your word this morning, I pray that you'd encourage those who need encouragement, that you would cut through the distractions and all the nonsense we have in our lives. Just keep up the wall between us and you. We need you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, Grace Free Church, Orangeburg. Welcome to our Tremont location. We are so glad that you are on here. We love you. Can't wait till I get to see you in person again. Today, we are starting a brand new series, How Not to Ruin Everything. And I don't know. It seems like a series I might need, and maybe you need too. And here's some really good news. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things, like difficult people. You have some of those? You thinking of somebody right now? You like writing it in your little bulletin, like this person, you're circling their name twice. And you're like, I'm really glad I came, but they're the ones who need to be here. Oh, don't you worry, Josh. I'm going to take notes and send it to them. Here's the problem. There are difficult people everywhere you go because you take you with you everywhere you go. And I don't know if you're comfortable admitting it or not, but sometimes you are a difficult person. I own that. Sometimes this is a great start to the series. You were like, man, I'm going to come in here. We're going to get some help. You know, like, this is going to be super encouraging. And here you are, week one. And the pastor is up front telling you how difficult you are. Me too. Everywhere I go. Sometimes when I'm running late from home, I get here pretty early on a Sunday morning. And I like to be in here, if I can, before everybody else. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes on my rush to get over here, I rush out the door and I don't really eat anything. And then I am halfway through my drive and I'm like, I better eat something because I don't want to, I don't have a filter as it is during the second service. And if I'm hangry, it just does not go good for anybody. So I know this isn't really healthy. And those of you that ate a salad for breakfast this morning are totally going to judge me right now. But every once in a while, my doctor says it's okay. Actually, I don't talk to him about this part of my life. But I will stop in the McDonald's drive-thru and grab a sausage and egg McMuffin. Anybody with me on that? I got a soft spot in my heart for the sausage egg McMuffin. And I'm fairly distracted most Sunday mornings on my way in here. And maybe this Sunday morning I was a little bit more distracted and a little bit more anxious, a little more short with, you know how sometimes you can be short and what's wrong with people? You probably said that this morning. I'm in the drive-thru line. I ordered my sandwich. I'm pulling up and I'm waiting there and there's this kid in there checking me out. And I'm like, what is going on? Not checking me out checking me out like the... You guys are terrible. What a terrible church. It was a transaction, financial. And so... I'm sitting there forever. There's nobody in line. I'm the only one at McDonald's. There's nobody waiting. There's no cars in the drive-thru. At least when I started this, I'm sitting there and I'm like, what is taking so long? Why do they still have my card? And there's this kid in there, right? Who won't look at me. Just like looking at the computer screen, I'm like, oh, great. Like, here we go. This rookie in here just totally messed something up on the computer or something. I'm like, and I'm there. So I'm sitting there. I'm just sitting there. This is an obscene amount of time. I'm watching cars like now come through the drive-thru and stack up behind me. And there she is. Like, so I'm looking. I'm like, do I knock on the window? Like, that's rude, but I'm like real close. I'm like, and my mind goes even further south. I'm like, no, she didn't mess up the computer. She's like scanning my card. This little high school college student is working with somebody. And my credit card's gonna be on the dark web this afternoon. Like, hey, do you want my social security number too? Like, I'm starting to get a little, I'm like, I gotta preach this morning, dude. Just be patient. And she won't look at me. So I'm like, do I knock? Do I not knock? Do I open the window and say something to her? And all of a sudden, I see her manager come out and stand next to her like, what's going on? And I'm like, great, now the manager's involved? Like, I just want my sausage and egg sandwich. And I want to go to church where they only judge me a little bit. And they talk a little bit, and then she slides the window open, and I'm like, hey, like, is my card not working? Do you need, like, cash? And she's like, you paid minutes ago, and I gave you your card back. And I flip open my wallet, and there my card is. I'm like, dude, do I have, like, early onset Alzheimer's right now? Like, what is, I'm supposed to preach this morning? I was sitting there for like 5 minutes. She like did the transaction, handed me the card, and I just sat there waiting at the window, scaring the death out of this poor kid who probably thought I was trying to abduct her. Like, as soon as the window's open, like this creep out here in this car, what is going on? Like, they threw my food at me at the next window, and I deserved it. I deserved it. You don't just deal with difficult people. You are the difficult person. And we are so good at going like, what's wrong with them? Their problem is fill in the blank. I can't believe they gave me that attitude this morning. I was just trying to get everybody up and moving so we could make the 9:30, whatever this service is. Sweating. What's wrong? Why do they have such an attitude? Why are they so angry all the time? Why don't they love me anymore? Why aren't they close to me? Why don't we talk and communicate like we used? We're so good at that part. We're so good at that part. And we are rather terrible at going, what was my part in this? And this is where it's like, you might not come the rest of these messages for this series. But if we're going to talk about how not to ruin everything, and we're going to apply that to one of the most important parts of our lives, which is our relationships, the first thing we got to do is talk about our part. There's this passage in this passage. It's not the one to start this very encouraging series off about our relationships. You could write this down and send it to him, but it's probably a better note for you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Aren't you like really glad this is where we're starting? We like that in the context of our relationship with strangers, but how about your relationship with your wife? Or your kids. Do not judge, or your pastor, for all of you that were judging me during that open story. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust? That's actually what that word means, that carapace. That's a very accurate translation. A little speck of sawdust. Why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank, dolkos? This means load-bearing beam think roof truss in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is not saying here that you're not allowed to speak into anybody's life. He's just saying that you got to preach to yourself first. Jesus is not saying here to ignore the sins or the problems other people have or the way they mess things up. He's not saying ignore all that. He's just saying you better take a microscope to yourself before you start looking into their issues. Jesus is not saying you have to stay silent when you see somebody that you love or care about going down a wrong path. He's just saying you better make sure your path is right. He's not saying you can't help people. What he's saying is you better do surgery on yourself first. This passage is so powerful when we talk about relationships, and we want to put it in the category of big sin, little sin. We want to put this passage in the category of dealing with strangers who do things that we find obnoxious to us. Well, before I go around judging that person for what they wore to church this morning, I'll just button up a little bit, you know? But we have a tough time when we realize that this passage applies to the people you live with, the difficult people you work with, the people you are in most relational contention with. I have a couple principles from this passage that I want to share with you. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to take notes through this entire series. Listen, we went real deep last week in Genesis chapter 3. It was deep theology. We got into it, man. We put our boots on and got the shovel out, and we dug in real hard over this last series. And this series, straight up front, is more practical probably. And I have five principles here to share with you kind of from this passage. And the first one is we like to miss or minimize our own stuff while maximizing the problems of others. This is a pattern we see in our lives. Like, I will amplify the mistakes other people make and minimize the mistakes I make. Do you do this in life? We show ourselves a little more grace. We give ourselves the benefit of context. If you knew what I was going through that morning, like, of course I was overwhelmed. Of course I reacted that way. This person has been treating me like this for so long. Well, how could I not be react? That's how we treat ourselves. We either miss the stuff in our lives that are the problems, or if we know it's there, we minimize it. It's not that big of a deal. This is how I was raised. This is how my parents treated us as kids. This is how they talked to each other. This is what you deserve because you have been dishing this out to me all this time. We like to minimize ourselves, our own issues. We give ourselves grace. We give ourselves all kinds of understanding. We justify them. After all, aren't we right most of the time? But when it comes to the other people, we take their failures and we maximize it. We get the sawdust and the plank backwards. We act as prosecutor, judge, and warden. And some of you are like, yeah, I feel that, because it's like I'm living in a prison. That's how we act with other people. We'll prosecute them for their failures. We'll hang them with our own justice system because we are right. And then we will keep them locked down in the prison of their mistakes. And nowhere in there do you see us showing grace to others. The grace we want to hijack for ourselves, we manipulate to fit our system, we don't show to others. Principle one is that we minimize our own junk and maximize the junk of other people. Here's principle number two. Blind spots ruin relationships. We all have them. Blind spots. These are things in our life that we don't see, patterns in our life, behaviors and patterns in our lives that we don't see, but that other people would see. And if we were listening, we would hear and understand and know that these patterns keep popping up in our lives. Behaviors repeated over time for any reason, whether you feel like they're justified or not because of your past, become a pattern. The book of Proverbs talks about this. Do you ever like look at the book of Proverbs and realize how often it talks about like paths, ways? It's not just a moment in time where a mistake is made. That's a little bit easier to deal with in some ways. But what's super difficult is these paths, these patterns that we see in our lives, these blind spots we're unaware of. Here's some of the language, Proverbs chapter 4, 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and the steadfastness in all your ways. 13, 20. Walk in the ways of the wise and you will become wise. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 14, 12, there is a way that feels right, but in the end it leads to death. Blind spots destroy relationships. What are your blind spots? You might not see them. Is it your tone and how you talk to other people? Maybe your pattern is avoidance. Every time things get difficult, you're just want to avoid the conversation, want to avoid the tension, cover it up with something happy, dust it away, hope it goes away on its own. Is your pattern to run away when things get difficult or escape into things that make it feel better for you on the inside, even if that feeling doesn't last long? Is your pattern to power up? Try to control the person or the situation when you get afraid of losing it. Do you lose your temper because if the loudest person in the room, in your understanding, it seems like they win? So you just want to shut everybody else down and be the last one and the loudest one to say whatever it is you want to say? Do you play the victim card? Everybody's out to get me. Why do they treat me this poorly? Nobody else treats their spouse. None of my friends are treated this way. It's just me. It's just this house. Do you manipulate the situation? Is that a pattern in your life? Manipulate people to get your way, to make you feel better. You shut down. Turn it off. Emotionally pull the plug. Just because it's easier than pushing through the uncomfortable parts of your relationship or having an uncomfortable conversation? Do you play the passive-aggressive card? Because you'll get them some way or another. Here's principle number three. The most dangerous blind spot pattern is the one you don't see. We don't see it because of pride. We don't see it because we justify it. We don't see it because some way we want to like self-protect, not be the weak one, not own our part of it. And the most dangerous parts of your lives, patterns in your life, issues in your relationships, are the ones you don't see. And if you're not listening, and if you're not willing to listen and to humble yourself and to let God speak into that area of your life, God, let God show you that area of your life, let other people who love you and care about you show you that area of your life, you will never see it, and it will destroy all that is good in your life. You'll miss out on the blessings that God has for you in your life. This happens in the story of David. He had train wrecked his life and was sitting on his throne, seemingly unaffected by the consequences of the sin that he was ignoring, as he had an affair and there might be some SA stuff in there, and then he had a guy murdered. Yeah, it was a really bad story. And God says, Nathaniel, to go confront a king. And he tells him the story about these farmers that were mistreating this guy who was stealing sheep from someone else and using it and slaughtering it for his own selfish purposes. And David gets enraged at that. And Nathan goes, that's you, man. And I wonder what your that's you moment would be when you look at the relationships that you're struggling with. What's the that's your part in this? It takes courage and humility to hold up a mirror and go, maybe I play a big part in these relationship issues that I have been having. Sometimes I'm like, in my own personal life, I'm like, all right, Josh, maybe everybody else isn't wrong. And just numerically speaking, there's like five people telling me I got to look at this part of my life, and I'm the only one over here on this side of the line going, nah, it's you, man. No way. It's all them. Maybe not. Maybe it's me. Another principle is, even when we start to realize that we have blind spots, we try to protect them. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. And maybe you're at this spot in your relationships where you've been starting to hear the truth, but you're like, no way. I'm not the one wrong. I'm digging in my heels right now. I'm not going to roll over. Like maybe somebody made you feel like you roll over all the time and let everybody stomp all over. I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm not going to admit my part. They've treated me like crap. I'm not going to own my part. The way of the fools seem right to them. The way of the wise, they listen. They listen to advice. Don't stay blind to your blind spots. And when they start to appear in your life, don't shove them away. It's foolishness. And the last principle, it's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. Jesus calls this hypocrisy. A hypocrite is not somebody who struggles. A hypocrite is someone who ignores their struggles while pointing out everyone else's. That's heavy. There are times I'm a hypocrite as a pastor. There's times I'm a hypocrite as a dad. There are times I am a hypocrite as a husband. God forgive me for the times where I am fast to point out the flaws in everybody else before first looking at my own heart, my own thoughts. I mean, you came for help in relationships and thought this was going to be as funny as the bumper video. And here we are in this mess together going like, if we are going to see real change, if you are going to see real change in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids, in your relationship with your parents, in your relationships with people at work, in your friendships, if you are going to move those, if God is going to move those relationships to an area of blessing, and believe me, I believe he can. I have sat with couples listening to them talk and looked metaphorically for the last nail to put in the coffin because I thought it was done, over, kaput. And then God does something amazing. I cannot tell you the amount of stories that I have been ready to go like, yeah, that's not going to work. This isn't going to, God can't, I don't know. Like, I never say God can't, but you're sitting there going like, yeah, this might be over. Time of death, like, where's the clock? And then God does his thing. But it starts not with them. It starts with you. How to fix it. You ready? Maybe this will be, you're not. You don't look happy right now. How to fix it. First, order matters. Before you talk about, when you're in conflict with people, before you talk about what they're doing wrong, the ways they're mistreating you, why not start with you? Why not do some self-reflecting? Figure out your part of it. And what would happen in your arguments if instead of starting like this, why are you the way you are? You started with, I'm sorry for being the way I am. That is so simple. But I guess the other person on the other side of that statement would not know what to do or say if you started like that. Order matters. Scripturally, order matters. We're supposed to do work in us, make sure we are right with God. Search our hearts. Search our minds. And then start with the right order, and then a healthy dose of self-awareness is spiritual maturity. In the book of Psalms 139, 23, it's one of my favorite chapters, one of my absolute favorite chapters. It ends with this. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any way, offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of understanding. This is a great two-verse prayer to pray in your relationships when you're going through it, when you're fighting with your spouse, when you're having relationship trouble, when things are blowing up in front of you, when it feels like you're disconnected. Start by praying that as it pertains to your relationships. God, things are falling apart right now. They might hate me. I might hate them, but I need you to search me and know my heart, and let me know of any offensive ways I have in me, and then listen to his voice. And then here's the third way to fix it. Humility. Because humility changes your posture. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And what you need in your relationships is grace. Because you deal with a lot of difficult people. And you are a difficult person. Humility puts us in the right posture to listen to the other person. To admit our own part of it. To do the work that needs to be done for healthy relationships, and all healthy relationships take work. They don't just happen. Things don't just get better. Great marriages are built on work. And it puts you in the right posture to depend on God. And here is the gospel as it pertains to this. Honesty leads to grace, experiencing grace, and grace is what leads to transformation. So we start by being honest with ourselves. The worship team is going to come out, and I just want to end with this. What if the breakthrough you have been praying for, the things that you hope desperately would change, the ideal of the relationship that you have been trying to get back to or capture for the first time, what if it just starts with you? You see, I think that's good news. Because you can't change other people. But you can let God change you. And a changed you will automatically change every relationship you are a part of, no matter how difficult those people are. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that your word applies to every part of our lives, that you care about our relationships no matter who they're with and what kind of relationships they are. You want to see us experience the grace that you have for us and the blessing that comes through healthy relationships. And this is a hard one because this one, we don't get to talk about them. We don't get to start with all of the things they've done wrong and all of the ways they've hurt us and all of the ways they've let us down and all of those. And God, sometimes for some of these people in this room, that list is a big list. But even so, the change that we have been praying for, it starts with our heart, starts with our mind. So we give those to you today. Would you just help us to live with a posture of humility, willing to listen and to own our part and to do the work that you have for us so that we could experience the blessing that you have for us. I pray for all the relationships that may be struggling right now in this room, in Tremont, and the relationships at work that are frayed, the friendships that are broken, the marriages that are falling apart. I pray for those who are lonely and feel disconnected, Father, that your word would sink deep, that you would encourage us, that we would feel your presence even during these last two songs, that we would know no matter how alone we feel, we are not alone, that you love us and pursue us and have good things for us. And we are so thankful that the best thing, the cross and the empty grave, we have. Nothing and no one can steal it from us. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.